This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, April 21st, 2021. The Memorial of St. Anselm by Father William Doc Holliday.
They went about preaching the word. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those words from the book of Acts should give us pause to think about the commission that our Lord has given us to preach the gospel. It doesn't matter what circumstances. As a matter of fact, the worse the circumstances are for us, generally the more traction we get in our witness. That passage from Acts chapter 8, the first few verses, it comes on the heels of Stephen's martyrdom, that proto-martyr of Holy Church. Stephen is being persecuted. They have taken him into custody unrighteously. They confront him with a bunch of crimes. They accuse him of things. And it's interesting, his response. He doesn't respond to their accusations. He turns the tide and he confronts them. He confronts their opposition to God and to his agents, his prophets. He points out that the people of Israel have, in a majority, always done this. This kind of gives us the time to think about God's percentages. God's percentages are that the faithful remnant are a much smaller proportion than people who claim to be God's people, but then don't live a life according to what he desires of them. St. Stephen confronts them with this. These men have taken him into custody, and he knows almost assuredly that they're going to kill him. But he doesn't for one moment, not one moment, try to obfuscate what he has said. He doesn't try to dialogue with anybody. I love his dialogue. His dialogue is confrontation. He confronts them with the fact of their history, because what do they always appeal to? Their history is the people of God. Yeah, you are the people of God, and the majority of whom are in opposition to God. And they slay his prophets. This is his confrontation with them. You would think that he would stop there with that, because that's pretty up in your face, Stephen, as you stand before people who are going to kill you. And he changed from confronting them with their actions being commensurate with what has always gone on in history. And then he points to them individually, and gives them a stinging rebuke, the leadership of Jerusalem. He talks about them killing our Lord Jesus Christ. He, like St. Peter, accuses them of having turned over the Lord of glory to the Romans for execution. He ends everything with an accusation of them ignoring the sacred nature of God's revelation, because in a nutshell, he is confronting them with the fact that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was the Messiah, and that this Messiah, just like the Word, just like his prophets, they looked at him who was sacred by nature, and they ignored him. They ignored him to the point where he is so bothersome that they had him killed. This leads to another persecution, because basically Stephen, for the Christian church, has thrown gas on the fire. They are looked at as a sect of Jews who are troublesome and nothing but rabble-rousers, and Stephen's personal confrontation brings heat down on everybody. Well, that's not right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is right, because St. Stephen's words are true. And if everyone is of one accord, everybody in the Catholic Church should believe what St. Stephen presents to them. And this the world does not like. This raises the world's ire. They kill Stephen, and then they turn on these ones who are like him, or at least say that they are like him. It's kind of interesting to see God's ratcheting up the chastisements on his people. There was a young man, Saul of Tarsus, who passively held the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death. He was consenting to his death, but he really didn't take any active part in it. This young man who stood there and held the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen, this young man has passed from being a silent, passive participant in the persecution of the church to being an active destroyer of the church. This is where our reading comes into this. This one, Saul of Tarsus, who, as it says, raised havoc in the church. Our Lord uses enemies of the church to get his will done in the church. It gets us coalescing, but another thing that it does is it will disperse us. He likes that. He likes when we're not in a comfy zone, when we sit in our own little four walls and talk amongst ourselves about how great our Lord Jesus Christ is. He wants us out there. He wants us out there, and he will move us by chastisements and persecutions. This is how he works. This is how he has always worked. We just need to appreciate that aspect of how he works. We look at our own day. Some, in the grand scheme of things, some trivial little virus that's going around. What has it done? It has emptied a lot of Catholic churches, the vast majority of which are complaining about 70% of our people haven't come back yet. And then in other places, attendance has doubled or more. It's what God does. He uses things like that to get people where he wants them. He gets people on the same sheet of music, because we start coalescing when we discover that the leadership of the religion are falling far short. They need to be confronted with that, as Stephen confronted them, as Saul of Tarsus, as his instrument, confronted them. As it quotes, they therefore that were dispersed preach the gospel. We not only preach by our words, but I always say we preach by our actions. In this dispersion, when these people are preaching, it actually says that dispersion was a matter of when people looked upon what St. Philip did and preached in truth. They looked upon it in truth, not only what he said, but what he did. Both of those things advanced the kingdom of God. Because up to this time, and at our Lord's behest and command, it had been centered in Jerusalem. But this one, St. Philip, that we read about at the beginning of chapter 8 in Acts, he goes to the Samaritans. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, had actually told his disciples, don't go among the Samaritans, because it wasn't time for it yet. It's time for it now. And he sends. And how does he send? Why does it? Hey, go to the Samaritans. Jews don't have any warm and fuzzies for the Samaritans. Even Christian Jews don't have any. So what does our Lord do? He brings chastisements, and he brings dispersions. And you're commanded to preach, so if you wind up in a Samaritan village, you preach the gospel. And they all with one accord believed what he said, because of what he said and what he did. This is how our Lord works. This is how our Lord works, and we need to appreciate it. It was that way with Stephen. It is that way with St. Philip. Today's memorial, St. Anselm, same thing. St. Anselm, who leaves continental Europe and travels the arduous journey back then of going to England, he takes up the see in Canterbury. And everything goes well until English kings are wont to always interfere in the affairs of the church. Particularly if it will make them a buck or two, pound or two, I guess. This is what the English kings have always and do this to this day. Okay, we'll start our own church because we don't want the Catholic Church because they don't give everything to us. They have some focus on Rome. St. Anselm goes there and he's a faithful man. He has a big following. And the king all of a sudden wants to have a part in this. And St. Anselm says, you will not have a part in it. This is the church. You will not interfere. And just like his successors, he said, well, guess what? I'm going to confiscate everything that you own and you're exiled. St. Anselm goes back to continental Europe, spends a lot of time in Rome. And what does the Holy Spirit do through him while he's at Rome? He continues to preach. He continues to proclaim God's word. And in Rome at that time, there were some conflicts going on theologically, and St. Anselm's presence solidified the church's documents and dogma on certain things. And it was in the Lord's providence that he wound up going back to England. He was restored to his see because of the king's brother, who was a more faithful man. He requested Anselm be brought back, and there he died. It's another example of our Lord moving someone from one place to another, and then that place to another, and then back again in order to fulfill his will. We never want to be frustrated with such activities. Our Lord will open doors for you, and he will indeed close doors for you. You must appreciate that. When it happens, we are not to wring our hands and lament. We are supposed to do what we're supposed to do, bringing it full forward again to us. Like I said about the virus before, let us not lose this opportunity. This is a huge opportunity. There's a lot of bantering going on. What do you go there for now? What do you get? You have a stellar opportunity to present the truth of the Catholic Church as it has always been presented and let people know that there are myriad deficiencies in the presentation of that truth right now. For the past 60 years, we've had progressively worse and worse and worse problems. Over the past year or so, it's almost like things have gone absolutely haywire in Rome. I mean, things that you look at, if you know your faith, and go, that's really weird. Yes, it is. That's a gross understatement. These are the times in which we live. Did not St. Stephen confront them, his religious leaders, with their gross deficiencies? That's what God wants us to do. He does not want you to be a little lockstep muppet and just doing and nodding your head when somebody who wears a different color cassock might say something. There's a lot of them saying very wrong things right now. First thing we need to do is pray for them. The second thing we need to do is to confront them. We confront them, and if they don't listen to you, you tell others. They will believe your words and your deeds, because they will determine that you haven't come up with them. You're not reinventing the wheel. You are presenting the faith to them. This is how God works. He has always worked like that, and he's working like that right now. He just expects us to take advantage of it. The people, as it was articulated in Acts when they were talking about St. Philip and the Samaritans, the people will be attentive to what he said and did. They will be attentive to what we say and do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.